welcome your Chairman of Medical Affairs, Health Sciences, and Education, Dr. Jamie McManus.
Hello, Shackley family. How are you doing tonight? Sorry, we're reaching for the microphone here. Last minute, I realized I don't have a microphone right in front of me. Hello, Shackley family. It's great to be with you here tonight on our monthly Health Sciences conference call. We have a timely topic, as I'm sure all of you sitting here right here today listening or this evening listening to this call, you may have a little waning energy in the course of your day. And so we are here to give you all of the solutions that you need so that tomorrow at this time you are having a lot more energy. And if you don't have a lot more energy, it's because you didn't pay close enough attention tonight. So be sure you take good notes. So joining me tonight for our call is our Vice President of Health Sciences, Les Wong. How are you doing, Les?
Hello, everybody.
And so we're going to do our usual tag team presentation and talk to you about energy, talk to you about the ins and outs of why you have low energy, how to find solutions for that, what that's all about in the body so you have a better understanding of it. I think sometimes when you understand things, you are more inspired to do the right things to make a difference in how your body is functioning. We're also going to talk about a new energy product we've just launched, which most of you know about, and talk about some of our athletes that are very committed to Shackley and what they're doing and saying about Shackley and Shackley Energy as well. And then, of course, open it up for the Q&A portion of the evening. So let's just dive right into this presentation. So energy. Obviously, you know when you don't have the energy you want, as I'm kind of somewhat jokingly suggesting that all of you sitting there right now, maybe you're just bounding with energy, and that's absolutely great. But let's just try to define energy so you understand what we're talking about here, and then we can, you know, really understand more of the interventions and what you should be doing on a day-in and day-out basis. So energy, just by the pure definition, the Webster definition, is the ability to do work. And so there are many forms of energy in the world around us, including light, sound, and heat. There's mechanical energy, chemical energy, nuclear energy, all sorts of types of energy. Energy powers everything we see around us. It warms our homes. It helps to cook our food, play our music, powers all of our iPods and Blackberries and everything that seem to be so, you know, invaluable in our day's life. What will we do without all of those energized forms of communication, et cetera? Just from a very basic standpoint, energy comes from the sun. It powers the growth of plants that are then eaten by animals. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So that there's stored energy in plants as well as animals, which help provide us as humans with additional sources of energy. So our basic body energy, the energy in your body, comes from chemical energy that is stored from the food that you eat. So when you eat, your body's transformed the energy into compounds in your body that can essentially power your cells to perform all of the functions that they do. So your body needs energy for the basic processes of metabolism as well as the conversion of all of the nutrient molecules into the compounds that are needed, the metabolites that are needed, the transportation of those throughout the cells of your body, with the ultimate end result being that you have the energy to think, to walk, to run, to learn, etc. So again, stepping back to where the energy comes from, photosynthesis is actually the underlying process uses the sun's energy rather to convert compounds in the soil into essentially plants. The carbon dioxide from the air and water and minerals from the ground combined together, and the seeds essentially essentially become plants, ultimately with forms of sugar, starch, nutrients, vitamins, minerals, etc. And of course, that's just the start of the food chain, which ultimately the animals eat the plant. Humans eat both animals and plants, and these are both stored sources of energy. So when we eat plant, or animal foods, we convert their stored energy into energy in our own bodies. So as our bodies use the energy, we then breathe oxygen, in oxygen, exhale out carbon dioxide, which is then utilized to help plants to grow. So that's a very miniature, very short miniature lesson on the creation of energy on our planet and the utilization of energy. So let's kind of dive down into the kind of cellular conversion of food into energy, and that's basically metabolism. We've talked about metabolism in many different from many different perspectives in Shackley before, but this refers to the chemical reactions that are carried on inside every single cell in your body. So with Vivix, we talk about the processes that are occurring in the cell that may lead to damage in the cells and aging of the cells. We talk about mitochondria, and the mitochondria are those innate power plants in your cells that create essentially the energy to process everything that goes on in your body. So these major metabolic reactions, involve breaking down larger molecules into smaller molecules. There's energy released as a result of that process. The basic building blocks of compounds that power the energy of all of our cells are essentially the basic building block of the macronutrients we know about, proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, glucose, which is the basic building block of carbohydrate sources, is certainly the single most important compound in human energy metabolism. This essentially drives tremendous functions within the body. So human sources of energy, where do they come from? How do we obtain them? Sorry, I'm probably just getting over my first cold in about 3 or 4 years, so sorry if I sound a little bit sniffly or nasal to everyone out there. So carbohydrates, again, we talked about carbohydrates, proteins, and fats as the macronutrients being broken down into minor building blocks of glucose, amino acids in the case of proteins, and fatty acids and lipids in the case of fats. So food supply carbohydrates in three main forms: starch, sugar, and cellulose. Starches and sugars are the major essential sources of energy for humans and can be stored as glycogen in both your liver and your muscle. You've probably heard talk about glycogen stores. That's basically the conversion of carbohydrates into a storage form so that you can utilize it later. So that's what happens when you're sleeping at night. And then in the morning, those glycogen stores, especially if you don't eat a healthy breakfast, have to be mobilized to supply your blood sugar requirements and your basic glucose requirements throughout your, again, your blood sugar requirements are just basically your cellular glucose requirements. So all tissues of the body need glucose at all times, and so that's why this glycogen storage process is so important. The proteins, this is the chief muscle and tissue builder, and is a very important structural component of every single cell in the body. Proteins, again, are consumed in the diet, and if adequate, then the process works well. If inadequate, then certainly you can have tremendous breakdown of the structural components. And we talk about with the diet cycle with Finch, retention of lean muscle mass is so important because the classic diet, when you decrease calories and you don't take in adequate amounts of protein, especially as we've talked about protein enhanced with a specific amino acid, leucine, you set in motion a process in which you actually are essentially taking energy from your muscle as opposed to your body fat, because the muscle is a more dense source of energy, and so you can actually lose some of your most important energy sources as well as your structural component with lots of muscle mass. Fats also make up an important structure of the cells, and they form a protective cushion around your organs. They also are very important in actually carrying certain nutrients from one place to another, including fat-soluble vitamins. Fats in your diet are the most concentrated source of energy. They provide 9 grams of energy, essentially, 9 calories of energy, rather, per gram, as opposed to proteins and carbohydrates provide 4 calories per gram. So, again, fats are much more dense. Although, as we know, as far as balancing blood sugar, protein can be more important because it's harder for the body to digest and therefore helps to maintain a more level blood sugar than either fats or carbohydrates, interestingly enough. So what do you have to do to maintain or sustain the best energy in the course of the day? How do you want to eat properly? Well, I think we know this innately, but it's good to remind everyone that eating the right combination of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates can lead you to have a more stable blood sugar, and which will help you to have better energy throughout the day. Many, many, many people suffer from low energy as a result of fluctuating blood sugars. So the right foods and the right combination will both prevent the rapid rise in blood sugar as well as the drops that occur. And the drop in blood sugar is actually what causes people to be symptomatic. And the numbers can still be in the normal range. So people can have a normal blood sugar response, but if they have a quick drop-off because they don't have a good balance of calories, they're eating mainly carbohydrates, or carbohydrates with a little fat but no protein or not enough protein and fat combination, then that blood sugar can drop suddenly, and that is what makes people shaky, irritable, lacking concentration, nauseous. All are symptoms of that blood sugar drop from not eating a good balance of foods. So you want to start with a balanced, hopefully plant food-based diet. It's better for the planet as well as for your body, and including 7 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables, lots of whole grains. The antioxidants are wonderful for health reasons. The grains are as well for digestive function, but also for helping to maintain that even blood sugar, which is, again, one of your best ways to maintain good energy. We're going to go through a whole series of ways to sustain energy, but your diet is certainly the most important one of the most important ones and most critical ones. If you don't have a balanced diet, all the other things that we're going to talk about here, this is kind of the foundation. So all the other things that Les and I are going to talk about here in the coming minutes will not work as well if it's layered upon a terribly imbalanced, unhealthy diet. So really, you know, again, strive for moderate amounts of protein, as well as a low intake, but an intake of the right kinds of fats and oils. Eating small meals throughout the day is another great strategy for having more level blood sugar and more sustained energy throughout the day. So, Les, why don't we go through some nutrients that really function as energy catalysts?
Perfect. Let's talk about some energy nutrients that you want to try to incorporate in your diet, or you might consider augmenting simply because they may have some role in catalyzing energy production or somehow involved in supporting sustaining energy. One of the first ones that come to mind are the B-complex vitamins. We've known that the B-complex vitamins for a very, very long time are integrally involved in converting the food that you eat into energy that you that your cells and you can use. So they're really energy-releasing or energy producing vitamins, and adequate levels of these vitamins are really important for, again, conversion of carbohydrates, protein, and fat into energy. They also obviously play important roles in keeping muscles and blood and skin, eyes, and nerves healthy. Magnesium is one that we talk about and hear more about these days. It's needed for many, many biochemical reactions in the body, including breakdown of glucose into energy. So you want to keep levels at an optimal level. Some of the research indicates that the magnesium intake in America isn't as optimal as it should be. So this is something that sometimes we want to take a closer look at. Other minerals involved in energy metabolism, of course, iron is very, very important, and this is a mineral that we sometimes think of as mainly important for women of childbearing age, but athletes may require higher levels of iron, male athletes as well, simply because they need the rich, the iron-rich hemoglobin in the blood to transport oxygen and nutrients throughout the bloodstream. So very, very important for working muscles. A lot of times you'll, or sometimes you'll see that people with low iron, and this can happen in women a lot, can be anemic or subclinically iron deficient, and this can affect energy levels as well. Zinc, potassium are other minerals involved in energy metabolism, supporting working muscles. Phosphorus, manganese, chromium also are supportive as well. Caffeine is an interesting topic. It's a natural stimulant ingredient that basically is produced mainly in the leaves and seeds of many plants like coffee, tea, chocolate are probably the main places you would find it. That can significantly affect and impact heart rate, blood flow, respiratory rate, and metabolism for some time after consumption, depending on how much you've taken in, and also depends on how sensitive you as an individual might be. Again, some are sensitive to caffeine, and it doesn't necessarily improve their status from an energy standpoint. But for others, the caffeine that you might find in a cup or two of coffee or tea can help give metabolism a significant and improving energy boost. One of the interesting things that we're finding out in new research about caffeine is that it can stimulate the central nervous system, which can promote increased alertness and focus for a time and an improved mood as well. One of the advantages that you have in green tea as a source of caffeine is that also green tea and green tea extracts contain a compound called, they contain catechins, and one in particular, epigallocatechin gallate, easy for you to say, EGCG, or the EGCG, is a catechin that helps to speed up the nervous system and can help you burn calories. And in some situations, for athletes and those looking for additional energy, this can be helpful. There are some other ingredients on the market that we want to talk about briefly. Taurine, it's an amino acid that is made by your body. There's some research out there that suggests it can help to regulate heartbeat, muscle contraction, possibly even energy levels. There's ginseng. There's been just hundreds and hundreds of different research studies on ginseng, and I think most of it leads to the conclusion that ginseng is a group or a class of adaptogens. Not necessarily an energy booster, but it seems to have some of the forms, some of the ginsenicides, if you will, the active compounds, have been shown in various research to fight fatigue, to relieve and reduce stress and things of this nature, rather than to give a strict and straight-up energy-type boost. Guarana or guarana is mainly a source of caffeine from a related plant. That, along with some things like ribose, carnitine, and creatine. There are some studies that support efficacy of some of these compounds, sometimes in athletes with regard to athletic performance. But research is equivocal at this point in time, and we would say that the studies for some of these things really support only at this point a fairly large dose of these nutrients, one that you wouldn't, that you wouldn't encounter, that you wouldn't get in a normal diet, and there also are limited applications in terms of the studies that were conducted. There are limited uses and or types of energy or types of athletic or sporting events that these might be useful for. So in general, what we're saying is that for the general population, you need to be cautious when you're using some of these ingredients.
Okay. So now that you have a little better understanding of kind of the bodily processes that are going on that are supporting energy production in your body, let's talk about energy versus fatigue. Because I think that's an important distinction for people to have. Everyone has low energy at some point in time, probably every day. Some people have, people tend to have episodic and or maybe recurrent and maybe more common occurrences of low energy versus others may not. So I think it's an important distinction as do you have energy, low energy on an occasion, or are you chronically fatigued? Do you feel tired all the time? Do you wake up having low energy and never really feel that energetic in the course of the day? Those are different sorts of discussions. Now, just even if you had chronic low energy, that does not necessarily mean that you have a disease process. It can really mean that all the things that Les and I have just been talking about are things that are not working well for you, meaning your diet, your vitamin and nutrient intake, et cetera, as far as the kind of production of energy in the body and what you have to do to support your body doing its job in producing the energy that you need to sustain your normal everyday activities. When we then have to do more, we have to stay up late studying for a paper as a student, or you have a work assignment that you're working late on, or you have a sick child and you're up in the middle of the night, or you're traveling and you're changing time zones and that has messed up your circadian rhythm. All of those sorts of things may lead to excessive or unusual fatigue or low energy. So I think that the first thing you want to do is look at if you have low energy all the time, and this is something that's new and worsening, it's always a good idea to be seeing your physician and making sure you have your basic, physical exam on an annual basis, your basic blood panel that's appropriate for your age, et cetera. But also, at the same time, be going back to some of the things we've just talked about. Again, low energy is most frequently due to low blood sugar or not necessarily low blood sugar, but just fluctuating blood sugars and a lack of cellular energy. I mean, what your blood glucose level is doing related to your overall diet, which is not just your intake of carbohydrates by any means, but as we've been talking about, really that balance of proteins, carbohydrates, and fats can again lead to healthy, more normally fluctuating blood sugars versus not. Cellular energy is some of the things that Les was just talking about as far as B vitamins, magnesium, zinc, potassium, et cetera, all of these nutrients. I mean, this is why you eat food. This is why just taking a multivitamin can be so energizing for some people, because if their diet is not supplying them with all those key nutrients that they need, then their cells are not going to have the nutritional requirements to power the energy processes at the cellular level. And so think about those basic food or macronutrient sort of things that you need to be subdued to supporting energy and those micronutrient sort of things that you need to be doing to supporting energy. And let's just go through kind of a checklist of reasons for low energy. Why are they? And then a little bit about solutions for addressing those various types of low energy. And we'll get to kind of the more serious ones to think about towards the end. So, of course, for me as a practicing physician, when I was sitting in the exam room going over, the history and exam and kind of plan for a given patient, low energy was a common complaint. And, of course, my first two things were your diet and what are you doing in your diet and going through all the things we've just been talking about here tonight. And second was, and what are you doing for exercise? And, of course, oftentimes my patients would look at me like I had grown a third ear, like, I'm telling you I have no energy, doctor, and you're telling me to go out and exercise. Where am I supposed to get the energy for that? But, of course, the wonderful thing that anybody who exercises on a regular basis knows is that when you do exercise on a regular basis, you have tremendous more energy reserves than if you don't exercise on a regular basis. And so it's, again, doing all the things for your body so that you can, as well as for your mind, so that you can have the time to do the exercise that will help you have more energy. And that is 20 to 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week, just a 20 to 30 minute walk every day. If you can do that 5 days out of 7 is a wonderful way to provide added aerobic capacity, good exchange of oxygenation of your tissues, removal of toxins from the body by the increasing your rate of breathing, and your tidal volume in your lungs. And so that's a wonderful way to people. We know that people sleep better, have better mood, etc. So exercise as Les and I are firm believers, are, you know, it's kind of the panacea for everything that ails you, right, Les?
Absolutely.
That's what we tell our kids, right?
Absolutely.
Hydration's another big one. I mean, you know, people think that they're tired and you know, not able to concentrate as well at work, and oftentimes it is a combination of excessive intakes of stimulants and alcohol and not enough water intake. So you can roll those all kind of into one kind of category of, are you drinking enough fluid, good old regular water, sparkling water or regular water, but drink that water, 6 to 8 glasses a day of some sort. Try to keep your coffee and tea on a daily basis to 2 to 3, 2 to 4 cups a day, depending on what your tolerance for that is. I don't recommend sodas at all. I actually think sodas should be banned from the planet. I'm actually rather militant about that. I think sodas do nothing. Less as I've just stabbed Les in the heart. Yeah, you drink so many sodas. Oh, my goodness sakes. Anyway, and that's a whole other topic of conversation, but sodas, diet or otherwise, are not bringing you anything good in your life. Maybe taste. I don't particularly like the taste, but they're ruining your teeth and your bones and bringing you extra chemicals and or extra sugar. So the less you can do of those, the better. Keep alcohol to a minimum as well. That alcohol is very dehydrating to the body. Make sure you're drinking plenty of fluids and add in extra fluids if you are going out to a party and going to have a couple of drinks or glasses of wine. Les mentioned iron. Iron deficiency anemia is probably one of the most common reasons for low energy in women of menstrual age. I mean, if you have heavy cycles and or you don't get an adequate intake of iron because you don't eat red meat and or you don't eat your broccoli and spinach on a regular basis that are the best plant sources of iron, then you may very well have low iron stores, and that's something that only can be told by your doctor running a blood test to tell you what your iron stores are. But certainly iron deficiency, even not anemia, long before you actually become anemic, you have insufficient iron stores that will lead women in particular to be iron deficient. Men should really never be iron deficient because men don't menstruate, and so they are not losing blood on a regular basis. And so if a man is iron deficient, that is of significant concern. That's why that's why the Vitalizer and Vital-E are made without iron options, as well as postmenopausal women as well do not usually need iron unless you have a specific reason for that. But check with your doctor, because iron is actually a pro-oxidant if you don't need it. If you need it in your body, very important. If you don't need it in your body, it's actually not something you want to be taking in other than your normal nutritional amounts that you need. You need a certain amount in your diet. Again, eating on a regular basis, I believe in grazing for the best level of energy and the best maintenance of normal blood or more level blood sugar. So 3 meals a day, 2 snacks a day. People don't need big meals. We obviously tend to overeat in America. Overweight and obesity affects 2 out of every 3 people in the United States, and so we can do a lot for our body just by feeding it on a regular basis, by feeding it adequately and optimally, and by, you know, the best ratio of macronutrients. And then the couple of final things related to reasons for low energy, obviously inadequate sleep and stress are two huge issues in our society that we all deal with. Everybody's running fast. We tend to watch too much television and spend too much time on the computer. That stimulates our brains and our, not necessarily our bodies all the time, but certainly our brains. So it's hard to kind of turn that all off and get good quality sleep, not only enough sleep, but good quality sleep. And clearly the sleep institutes across the U.S. that study sleep in adults, primarily in adults actually, really validate over and over and over again that humans need 7.5 to 8.5 hours of sleep. We actually have a very pretty narrow range, and very, very few people fall out of those ranges. So if you have someone in your life who tells you, oh, I do great on 5 hours of sleep, they probably don't actually. They may be adapted to it, but they don't actually do well on 5 hours of sleep. That's pretty well proven over and over again. They're much more likely to be in an accident, car accident, on-the-job accident. They're not performing at the level that they might otherwise perform. And then stress and mood is also a big issue. And that's where sometimes it's important to try to ascertain, is your low energy related to stress? Is it something serious and such that you see the ads on the television and you think that everybody in the world must be depressed and needs some sort of a pharmaceutical for their low energy and their pain related to their low energy and et cetera? And to remove the need for concern about depression, that's a real disease and a real disorder and does potentially need medication. We also know that mild depression, actually there's study after study that show that people who are mildly depressed oftentimes do just as well with a good nutrition program, an exercise program, a little bit of therapy to talk out what's bothering them as opposed to just slapping on a medication instead. I know I'm somewhat preaching to the choir here. Most of you on the phone are a little more oriented towards that anyway, but a lot of people you're talking to aren't necessarily, and oftentimes, you know, it's the easy way in the medical office to prescribe a medication, which is not the wrong thing to do. It's just that there are oftentimes alternatives. And so the lifestyle and dietary things that may help people have more energy so they don't feel depressed, so they deal better with stress, can oftentimes be very helpful. So I'm kind of flowing into not only the reasons for energy, but some of the solutions for energy, for low energy rather. And of course, it's really all the things that we've been talking about: eating a healthy breakfast. You know, we're firm believers we talk about the best breakfast on the planet here at Shackley, and so we're certainly very strong proponents of the importance of starting out the day with a healthy meal. And we know that you need protein in the morning, you need a good source of antioxidants in the morning, and which is why we make the recommendations that we do. Breakfast is probably the most important meal in the day, with smaller meals throughout the day, and that helps keep your metabolism going, keeps the cellular energy machine underway on a minute-to-minute basis so that you feel better. And then kind of all the things we've been talking about: exercise on a regular basis, again, that 20 or 30 minute walk four or five times a day. If you can't do that, do shorter amounts of activity. We actually know that as opposed to doing a full 30 minutes, you can do two 15 minutes or even three 10 minute walks throughout the day and have a similar amount of effect on your mood, your metabolism, your sleep abilities, etc. Drink more water, drink less alcohol, try to eat a healthful diet, less processed sugar and more whole grains, stay away from the whites, go to the dark and colorful foods. I've taught my children since the beginning of time that, the plate should be the dinner plate or the lunch plate should be a very colorful plate. And so you want to have bright oranges and yellows and reds and all the bright colors of vegetables in particular on your plate. And that white's kind of a bad color, and that you want to have darker colors. So you want to have dark grains and lots of spices on things, which oftentimes will darken things as well. So, and then some of the stimulants, and we're going to talk a little bit about caffeine and energy, energy sources here in just a moment. I'm going to send it back to Les here. It's really moderation. I mean, if there's anything that is a good overall overarching message related to energy, moderation in all things will lead to a great moderation of your energy, and that will most likely bode well for you having a good day, day in and day out. So, Les, energy drinks and shots, what do you think?
Well, it's an interesting topic. So you just mentioned earlier the epidemic, but with the advent of soda pop,
yes,
and all the additional sugars and calories that we've been consuming in sodas and sweetened beverages for the past 30 or 40 years, the rise in obesity and overweight and diabetes and so forth, if you look at those curves, they're almost identical.
Yeah.
So certainly that has been a huge, huge problem for the total health of America. One of the new ones that's coming up that we hope doesn't turn into as big a scourge as soda pop has been is the advent of what's known as some of these energy drinks. And the challenges with the energy drinks is that they're similar in ways to the soda. They can be sources of too much sugar, artificial flavors, colors, etc. But there's some new issues on the horizon that are just now being investigated and studied. And what I want to do before I talk specifically about products is I want to touch on two brand new studies that are just released out in the scientific literature that bring into question sort of the safety and the relevance, and if we should be really watching our intake and our children's and our stakeholders' intakes in these drinks, we should be watching them much more carefully. And I do want to mention here that we have already placed one link on one of these studies actually online on our Health Sciences Facebook fan page, that if you go to Facebook and you have to have an account and open it up, and if you plug in Health Sciences, I just want to mention it is a non-branded generic website where we are allowed to post good scientific information. In some cases, it's related to diseases or risk for certain diseases, and as such, we need to keep it a non-branded site because what we have here are foods and dietary supplements which don't treat, mitigate, or prevent such diseases. But it's a great source of technical information, lots of links to different studies, and links will be, by this evening, we'll have links to both of these studies that I'm going to talk about very quickly. The first one is a study that was published in the American Journal of Medicine issue February 2010. This was just posted online in the last day or two. This was done by a study in University of Adelaide in Australia. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the abstract. Energy drink consumption has been anecdotally related with sudden cardiac death and more recently myocardial infarction. As myocardial infarction is strongly associated with both platelet and endothelial dysfunction, we tested the hypothesis that energy drink consumption alters platelet and endothelial function. And they basically looked at 50 healthy volunteers, 34 males and 16 females. These were generally young folks, and they measured platelet aggregation and endothelial function before and after consumption of 250 mils of a certain energy drink. And, you know, the various tests were conducted. Compared with baseline values, there was a significant increase in platelet aggregation. That's generally not a good thing. Following energy drink consumption, while no change was observed in the control. And then similarly, what's called a measure of endothelial function decreased following the energy drink consumption, and mean arterial pressure significantly increased as well compared with the control. And the conclusion that these authors have is that energy drink consumption acutely increases platelet aggregation and decreases endothelial function in healthy young adults. And what's not said in that conclusion is what the potential health implication is long term with continued repeated insults of this type. And it basically is something we won't know that for a while, and of course we're concerned that what we find out down the road is something we won't want to have found out, and will regret the amount of energy drinks that are being consumed by our friends, our children, and so forth here. Here's another study that was actually just posted online about 6 hours ago. This is a study that is written up by the University of Florida. It will be in a journal, I believe it's called Addiction Research, the journal Addictive Behaviors. And this one, the title is Alcohol and Energy Drinks Adds Up to Higher Intoxication Levels, Increased Driving Risk. And here's one of the things that's a new phenomena that you have associated with energy drinks that you didn't really have so much with the soft drinks, I think, is that energy drinks are favored among many young people for the beverage's caffeine jolt, and they also play an important role in many alcoholic beverages. And what tends to happen is that people tend to think that they can consume many alcoholic beverages, but because they're consuming this caffeinated drink along with it, they sometimes can feel more alert or be more awake but still be incredibly intoxicated at the same time and not necessarily know it.
So
it's a very, very bad combination. So this is the second study that I've seen that links caffeine to alcohol intoxication and is putting more intoxicated but awake drivers and others on the road, and it's pretty concerning. This was a study, I think, of about 1,000 college-age adults who were exiting bars and nightclubs at the end of an evening, and they were asked questions and so forth about their state of mind and so forth. And basically, those who reported drinking alcohol mixed with energy drinks were 3 times more likely to be intoxicated than drinkers who consumed alcohol only. So that's kind of an interesting finding that maybe suggests that those who have the caffeine are able to, whatever, not pass out, whatever, and drink more alcohol, which, again, is a scary statement. We're not saying that this is... this is going to happen in everybody, but clearly in this study, there is an associated increased level of risk in certain activities that we just really, really need to keep an eye on. So again, once again, the links to these studies or the press release on this University of Florida study, because it is so new, I don't know that the manuscript is available. We weren't able to find it yet, but we will post the links to these studies on the Health Sciences Facebook fan page. So that, those who want to be made aware and to be informed of this type of information can have access to it. All right. And with that, I want to talk about, the reality is there's a market out there. There's a huge market out there, and there are millions and millions of people who are choosing to use energy-type beverages, whether they are coffee, tea, whether they're mixing them with alcohol, whether they are the energy type products that you pick up in the gas station in the morning. It's still amazing. It's still mind-boggling to me to go to a gas station and fill up my car at 7 o'clock in the morning and see someone coming out of the little mini mart with a couple of small cans of some highly charged caffeinated beverage with who knows what else is in there. Well, we actually did a little analysis and a little survey of products out on the market. I'm here to tell you exactly what's in some of these products. And although you may get some energy from the jolt from some of the sugar or some of the caffeine that you're getting in these products, we're concerned about some of the other things that are coming along for the ride. Things like artificial flavors, things like artificial colors, like red number 40. FD&C yellow number 5, FD&C yellow number 6, artificial sweeteners, the whole gamut of sweeteners, sometimes more than one in a product, things like sucralose, aspartame, acesulfame, potassium, also known as ACE-K, and those that actually do have energy products, I'm sorry, that actually do have natural sweeteners. There are some products on the markets that contain more than 50 grams of sugar, or total sugars and over 200 calories per can. I've seen a couple that actually are over 300 calories. I don't consider those cans. I consider them gallon containers. They're not gallon containers, but they're quite large. And so those are some issues. The other things you find in these beverages very, very commonly are artificial preservatives like potassium sorbate, sodium EDTA, benzoic acid, and sodium benzoate. And so some of these products may purport themselves to be healthy products and good for you products. And our contention is that when you're loaded with these types of ingredients, that we just don't think that's a very good healthy energy source. And that's where Shaklee Energy has entered the marketplace and has come into being. And what it is we feel it is a solution to part of the energy problem. It's healthy energy and smart focus. Dr. Jamie said to get energy, you need to have a good diet. You need to incorporate the rest, the exercise, the healthy lifestyle. But for those times when you have a little low energy and could use a little boost, we think Shaklee Energy provides healthy energy and smart focus. Well, it does this by providing ingredients that deliver an effective boost to help energize your body, sharpen your mind, and improve your mood. They're tasty in pocket size, so they're a different form. They're in the chew form, sort of like our Mighty Smart products. They contain a powerful and unique blend of natural caffeine from green tea, L-theanine and L-tyrosine, two amino acids associated with focus and alertness, and, of course, energy-releasing B vitamins. And this one also has some bone-supporting vitamin D, so we like to have that in there. Unlike many of the other products that are on the marketplace today, the chews don't contain, or Shaklee Energy doesn't contain any artificial flavors, no artificial sweeteners, no added preservatives, artificial colors such as the red number 40, yellow number 5, or yellow number 6. Doesn't have the excess calories that you'll find in many of the drinks and shots that can really weigh you down. So we say it's got healthy ingredients that work fast to help you feel energized, get focused, think clearly, stay awake, stay alert, and even improve your mood. And that's pretty cool, we think. Healthy energy plus smart focus, we think, is a healthy edge. It's got the key, it also has, it's gluten-free. It's also got 75% organic ingredients. It's got formulation with natural caffeine from green tea. And just two chews per serving are very, very convenient. So you can take them along with you to the gym, in your purse, in your pocket, in your briefcase. And we think that this adds to the convenience and it allows you to sort of customize and take these along when you need the quickest boost possible. Don't have time to make a cinch tea. Don't have time to make a performance beverage or things of that nature. Again, we think you can take them anytime you want to have a boost for your energy and to help sharpen your focus. They're great for students who are studying. They're great for a pick-me-up at work, busy moms and dads who are always on the go. Also for sports performance, Energy Chews, the ingredients in Energy Chews have been shown in more controlled studies more recently that show that it can really help to boost athletic and sports performance without weighing you down. So we're pretty excited about the Energy Chews and the wide application for boosting energy, not only in athletes, but in basically everyone who's already having a healthy diet, healthy lifestyle, but still needs a little bit of a pick-me-up, and Energy Chews could be perfect for that. And now I'm going to turn this back to Dr. Jamie, because I know some of you are wondering how this fits in with some of the other energy-type products we have in our portfolio.
And before we do that, maybe we'll just go through kind of the caution as well to finish up on Energy Chews, and then we'll compare it with the other products that we have in our energy portfolio, shall we say. Isn't it nice that we now have an energy portfolio? Most of you who have looked at the Energy Chews have seen that there's a cautionary wording there, and the reason for that really is because we take safety very seriously here. We really want every single person who ever consumes a Shaklee product to be consuming it safely and having good results as a result of purchasing it and consuming it. So that's absolutely our number one concern. So clearly from some of the discussions and including the second of the two studies that Les highlighted tonight, there is a concern about abuse of caffeine. We all know that out there. There are people who drink too much coffee, drink too many frappuccinos, drink too many of the cans of whatever concoctions that you can get at the mini marts, etc. And the concern, of course, with children, and in my book, children is anyone under the age of 18, they do have sometimes less appropriate judgment and less appropriate decision-making abilities than they hopefully are going to have in years later, and also can sometimes be, involved in some higher-risk behaviors, including experimenting with alcohol. And so I think in light of basically the state of knowledge out there related to the potential concern about abuse or overuse of caffeine-containing products, We do have a caution, and we are in the process of slightly amending that caution. So the caution currently says contains natural caffeine and should not be used by children under the age of 18, pregnant or lactating women, or individuals with caffeine sensitivity. Do not consume more than 3 chews every 3 to 4 hours. Keep out of reach of children. We actually are going to amend that and actually take out the under 18 in coming iterations of the label of the Shaklee Energy Chew, which doesn't lessen our concern about it. The concern remains the same. So we believe that the decision about consuming caffeine should be made by adults. And so we hope that you, as the adults in the family, are discussing this with your children, just as you would hopefully discuss their usage of Coca-Colas or of coffee or tea, for that matter, or really of everything that they're doing in their lives from the standpoint of health and their activities and their certain choices that they're making. So we will continue to, you know, keep abreast of this. I don't expect that this is going to change. Unfortunately, teenagers are teenagers, and they will continue to be teenagers. So does it mean that it's unsafe for a teenager to responsibly consume this? No, absolutely not. We believe that there is a purpose, as we've talked about, for, you know, supporting energy and increased energy needs, for instance, with athletes, as Les is going to go into a little bit in detail here about some of our Shaklee athletes that are using our Shaklee products. That, of course, has to be based or layered upon, as I've said earlier tonight, I think Les has as well, layered upon a healthy lifestyle, adequate sleep, eating a diet rich in vitamins and minerals, adequate amounts of protein, et cetera, all the things that you need to support your body doing the right thing in producing the energy that you need on an hour by hour basis. But there are, again, situations where you need a little more energy in the course of the day. So for that short term, a supportive energy, we have this wonderful option now with Shaklee Energy, which are convenient, portable, and can, you know, help with a quick boost and also a little bit of support for focus. Now, how does that compare to the Shaklee Cinch Tea or Cinch Energy Tea and Core Energy, which has been a longstanding energy product in the Shaklee portfolio? So Core Energy is really intended, it's not a caffeinated product. It's actually intended to address more stamina and kind of the everyday underlying energy needs that people may have. It contains basically herbal adaptogens and phytonutrients, the adaptogens Panax ginseng and cordyceps, and the phytonutrients in the form of the green tea extract with the green tea polyphenols, very rich in, you know, antioxidants, and those herbal adaptogens that help you feel more balanced, help you feel more level in the course of your day, and help you feel like you have a little more stamina and resilience. Cinch Energy Tea is more of a quick pick-me-up, similar to the Energy Chew from the standpoint of its purpose is to provide that quick energy pick-me-up. It is a combination of green tea, red tea, white tea with a little bit of taurine. It's in a powdered form, but most everybody out there knows about this, but this comes in two different flavors and is meant to provide, again, energy in a hot or cold format any time in the day that you may need it. We're less concerned about abuse, certainly with the energy tea, because people are generally not going to overconsume a liquid drinks. So it's a little bit harder to take in excessive amounts when it's, you know, 8 to 10 ounces of a liquid. So so those are kind of the basic. The energy chew, a little, quick pick-me-up in a very portable format with the theanine for and tyrosine for a little added focus, the core energy for stamina, and the Cinch Energy Tea for a liquid, hot or cold pick-me-up with antioxidant-rich green tea. All three of these products contain green tea, obviously, in a little bit different formats and a little bit different amounts. And with that, I think we're going to turn it back to Les to talk about our Shaklee athletes.
Well, I wanted to talk about, you know what, that's a good segue. I want to talk about one more product
okay.
that I'm not sure how we missed that one, but we also have our Shaklee Performance, which is our foundation energy product, mainly for our athletes, but we find a lot of weekend warriors and non-athletes are having great success with Shaklee Performance in warm, humid weather and in their long workouts as well. Again, it's been a foundation product for many of the athletes that we work on. Again, it is designed to support hydration needs as well as to help sustain blood glucose for particularly for longer term and endurance exercises where it really works its wonders. So we wanted to mention that versus some of the other quote-unquote energy products that we had. But I do want to talk a little bit about some of the athletes that who have been having success with our products. And I'm going to start with the Energy Chew. And this is a note that was written to Shaklee by Troy Flanagan, and he's the sports science director for the U.S. ski team and U.S. Snowboarding. I've had the good opportunity to work with him and some of the athletes. We had a big, very exciting Energy Chew launch out in October in New York City, where I had a chance to meet with probably 10 U.S. ski and snowboarding athletes, many of whom will be at the upcoming games in Vancouver. But anyway, the ski team...
And are highlighted on the January DVD.
And are highlighted on the January DVD, and they're also... included on this new Shaklee Energy brochure or flyer that I believe you can pick up from the library now on myshaklee.com. And it's a great little flyer because, number one, it has the letter from Troy Flanagan, which says this: "We're thrilled to incorporate Shaklee Energy Chews into our regimen. So far, the response has been awesome. As you know, our athletes endure intense training and exhausting travel schedules. Staying energized can be a bit of a challenge, and this is where Shaklee Energy comes in. It helps promote mental alertness, which is crucial during competition. Unlike a lot of products on the market that contain substances you don't want, Shaklee Energy contains the right ingredients, like natural caffeine from green tea. But don't take it from me. Hear it from the athletes themselves." And there are quotes from three different athletes here, all of whom will be competing in the Vancouver Games. And so because of some legal issues, which I still don't understand, I'm unable to give you their names, even though they're saying these types of things about the products. One is a three-time national championship on the U.S. ski team. And she says, "Shaklee Energy Chews are really great to use in competition. They provide me with the right kind of energy, keeping me focused and energetic at the same time." Then we've got a 2009 World Cup freestyle skier. "As an elite athlete, you're always looking for the edge to be better, a better skier, to have better energy, better quickness, and better speed. I'm always looking for what will help me gain that edge, and the energy chews are perfect for when I'm on the hill and need a boost. They're definitely my new favorite." And another one is a seven-time world winner, an aerial skier. "One of the things I like about Shaklee is that everything that goes into their product is exactly what it's going to be." That's my favorite quote. "I trust them. I use the Shaklee Energy Chews a lot when I train." When someone says this to me and when I have a discussion and they tell me that they have that much loyalty and commitment and trust in the product, it makes me feel satisfaction that we're doing what we're setting out to do. I want to mention that there are some new athletes that we are sponsoring individually that will be placed on our website. I believe this is going to happen at some point after the Vancouver Games are over because of, again, reasons I don't quite understand. Nevertheless, look for a Vancouver Games participant, an inline speed skater, a Nordic combined skier, a cross-country skier, and some of these folks will be competing in the games, and we're with them. We're with them, and we'll post something somewhere. We're with them, and we believe that they have very, very good chances of getting medals. And again, They're very happy to be working with Shaklee, and so we think it's a real strong win-win relationship. And now I'm going to talk about some athletes that I can actually talk to you about because they're a little bit sort of off the beaten path. And I want to talk about, the first one I will talk about is Lori Brandt. She's an endurance mountain biker. She's a new Shaklee-sponsored athlete. I like her because she's a 47-year young woman who placed first in the 2009 Leadville Silver Rush 50-mile mountain bike, beating all female finishers. She actually took some time off to raise her two young children. I always think this is a noble goal, and when they want to come back, people who want to make a strong comeback and the best comeback, we think that Shaklee is positioned to help them as best as they possibly can do. She says, two of the products that help me are Shaklee Physique and Performance. They allow me to train hard and recover so that I can get a quality workout. With Shaklee, I know I'm not getting any artificial flavors, banned substances, or harmful ingredient, and that's important when it comes to your health, and you can trust their products. I couldn't have said it any better. Ashley Wagner is a figure skater who competed just in the national championships. She came in fourth place. She's got an impressive list of accomplishments. And with her busy set schedule, she relies on a number of Shaklee products, including Cinch snack bars to help her stay energized. She tries to have one in her bag every day. She says they're tasty and great in terms of providing energy and nutrients. The last new athlete that I can talk about right now, real quickly, is an athlete that I've met personally on numerous occasions. Her name is Sandra Gall. She's a Ladies Professional Golf Association golfer. She actually came to us by way of Kai Fusser, our good friend in Orlando, who trains a lot of professional male and LPGA golfers. She is a devout user of the products. In only her second year on the tour last year, she was 46th on the LPGA tour money list with the meager earnings of $298,000. That's not too shabby. In her first full year on tour, trying to combine that with all the other things that she's doing. She played out here in the Bay Area at the CVS Pharmacy Classic and came out in 19th place there, did very well. She's born in Germany, has played tennis. She likes to paint. She played for the German national team. She went to the University of Florida. That's my second University of Florida mention tonight for some reason. But she did, again, go pro in 2008, with 2009 being her very first year. And what I really like about her is she's a very, very bright individual committed to doing the best for her health and not willing to take any chance on her health to improve her game. So she won't settle for less than the top quality products that can possibly enhance performance, but more importantly, can be good for her health. And so we're very well aligned with her, and I want you to look for her this year. You'll see her on the website soon, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about her as she climbs up the professional golf rankings in the ladies' side. The last group of athletes that I want to talk about, well, they're not really athletes, actually. They're astronauts. And those of you who are paying any attention to the news at all will know that the shuttle Endeavour docked at the space station, the International Space Station, earlier today. And I'm just going to read a little bit here. U.S. Space Shuttle Endeavour linked up with the orbiting International Space Station Wednesday as the two vessels opened their hatches and brought together 11 space voyagers. With the arrival of Endeavour's six astronauts, the station's population grows to 11, and its mass tops 1 million pounds, said NASA. After resting, the crew members will transfer supplies to the space station, prepare for spacewalks, and make repairs. The most important tasks begin Thursday with a spacewalk and the installation of a 7-windowed dome observation deck on the International Space Station that will provide spectacular panoramic views of Earth and space. I can't wait to see some of those. This mission is one of five scheduled for NASA's three shuttles before the program ends later this year after a 29-year run. And now I hear that there are groups that are lobbying against the ending of this program, and you know, we'll see what happens. But what makes me proud about that, this is that for the last 17 years, Shackley has gone on every shuttle flight, Endeavour and the other shuttle vessels, as well as a custom rehydration beverage known as AstroAid that the astronauts are using to combat their specific fluid compartmentalization and rehydration issues of space and in reentry into Earth's atmosphere. So if they continue the program, know that Shackley will likely continue going with them. And as we embark, if we embark into a new space program, you can rest assured that we're going to do whatever we can to stay involved with the space program in whatever technical capacity that we can. And with that, I'm going to turn this back to Dr. McManus because I've overrun my time.
Well, and everyone out there, thank you for hanging with us as we see to be here through the full hour of our call. We always are concerned about, not always, actually. We're occasionally concerned about having enough content for a call. Today was one of those days where we thought, well, let's see here. Are we going to be able to have really enough content on here? So obviously, we overshot our wad entirely, but I think it's very interesting content. And so, first of all, Jody, I want you to tell everyone how to queue up for questions, and then I'll come back on with a couple of announcements.
Thank you. At this time, if you do have a question, please press the number 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will hear an acknowledgment that you have been placed in queue. If your question has been answered and you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the number 1 again. All questions will be queued in the order that they are received. Once again, if there are any questions, please press the 1 on your touch-tone phone.
Very good. Thank you so much. So we'll again do about 30 minutes of questions here, question and answers. Actually, you get to ask the questions, and we hopefully will have the answers for you. So this has been quite a, an extensive and informative call that I would hope you would share with everyone in your organization, and your uplines and your downlines, for sure. So the archive number for listening to this call, you remember the Q&A is not archived, but everything you've heard thus far this evening will be archived. The number to listen to that is 512-404-1255 and press the number 2. Again, 512-404-1255 and press the number 2. Secondly, the field support product specialists are available to answer questions on a regular basis every day from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 925-734-3638. 925-734-3638. You don't have to wait or write in or send an email. You can actually call and have your question answered right at that time. If they can't answer your question, they will pass it along upstairs to us, and we will be sure that we get it answered. So it's a very efficient way, and we will continue to increase the number of hours that we support that line, and the more that you utilize those product specialists, the more they will be available to you.